the morning announcements. Again, and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, and that means in any sense of the word. Our morning announcements and weekly announcements, Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. There will be no Bible study on Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. June 21st, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. June 22nd through the 26th is the National Baptist Convention Congress of Christian Education. June 28th, New Foundation Missionary Church is celebrating their pastor's anniversary Sunday morning. Pastor Nathan Williams Jr., 922 West Eureka, Champaign, Illinois. Our pastor, U.D. Williams, is a special guest preacher during the morning service. I have a thank you card. Words can say so little when someone has done so much, but I thank you with all my heart, Cynthia Johnson. My heart is overwhelmed with appreciation for Union and the other churches that celebrated VBS with us. You showed up and showed out, and I thank you for it. To my teachers and volunteers, I give you my love and your flowers. Teachers, you get to have breakfast from the church. Keep praying that this will catch on next year, but not at Union. Teachers, please see me after church for your breakfast ticket. Who said I love you and you can't do anything about it? I give God all the praise for allowing me to serve, Cynthia Johnson, coordinator. And she does have a few potted flowers still up front for those teachers who may be interested in those after morning service. And Brother Jeremiah has an announcement.
Morning, everyone. Got a quick announcement about the men's and women's Christian growth for next month. They're both canceled, but we're going to have something that's what we're calling the Family Christian Growth Fellowship. So all the men, bring your family out. All the women, bring your family out. July 11th from 10:30 to 11:30 here in the sanctuary, but we'll have food and fellowship afterwards over in the Educational Center. So mark your calendars and come on out and bless us with your presence. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you, and that concludes the announcements for today. Turn the old service over to the pulpit.
Sanctuary, to those that may be listening in the parking lot, we welcome you to our Sunday morning service. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, of the Union Missionary Baptist Church, we welcome you. At this time, those that can stand, if you'll stand and we'll go over the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our scripture reading coming from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 reads, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. You may be seated. At this time, our deacons will come to us with devotion.
Good morning, church. I want to say happy Father's Day again to those here and there and those playing the role of fathers. We're going to open up with scripture. Please stand if you can. Coming from the 24th Psalm, it reads this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Yes, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift him up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Read unto you the 24th Psalm. May God richly bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity this morning. We ask that you be in the midst of us. Allow us to fill a double portion of thy spirit. We want to thank you again for the previous week, BBS, for the positive results and the power that it had. Lord, I ask that you just continue to bless us as hearers and doers of thy word each and every day as we go out into the vineyard where we know the laborers are few, but the harvest is many. Father God, we're just so thankful again for how you've allowed us to be the family of believers and to be able to promote you in our personal lives, collectively also. Lord God, just ask today that you look upon those that are in bereavement, those that are incarcerated. Father, be to them what they need for you to be. Lord God, we're just grateful for all that you do for us. It's not anything that we've done to deserve, but your grace and your mercy has sustained us each and every day of this Christian journey. So Father, allow us as believers to hold up the blood-stained banner. And hold it up high for Jesus, Lord, no matter where we go. Proclaim that Christ is truly the answer for the world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus.
Let's do that again. with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Desire to come down for altar call, you're invited to come down at this time if you would like to come to the altar as we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. We do want to keep those in bereavement. We want to keep our government in our prayers. Amen. 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 We want to keep those who are affected by the high prices, inflation, all those things that are going on. We want to keep those things in prayer. We invite all who want to come at this time for altar prayer.
There's all kinds of things going on in our world today. There's all kinds of things going on in our lives today. And only God can take care of them. We're thanking him for his son, Jesus Christ, because of his dying on the cross, the giving us the right to the tree of life, that we are able to be here today and worshiping his holy name. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank you for waking us up this morning. letting us be able to clothe ourselves in our right minds. We thank you for the food that you have given us to eat. We thank you for the breath that you have given us to breathe. We thank you for the eyes that you have given us to see. Father, we just thank you, and we thank you for the ears that you have given us to hear. Father, we pray that you would come into our lives, strengthen us, nourish us, build us up. Father, we ask that thou would just bless those that are mourning this morning. Give them a lift up in their hearts. Father, bless those that are down this morning. Lift them up. Bless those that are regulating in their minds, Father. Give them regular mindsets. Father, we pray that you would just watch over, bless, and keep us. Strengthen and nourish us. We pray that you would touch the hearts of each and every one of us today so that we may humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways that thou may hear from heaven and heal our lands. Father, we pray that thou would touch the hearts of all those that are in leadership positions, especially those in our government and those in our religious circle, that they may humble themselves, seek your advice in their decision making, and do that which is right in your sight and in the sight of the people that they serve and represent. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts today so that we may prepare our hearts and our minds to hear the word that is to be preached today. Not only let us hear the word, but touch our minds so that we may do according to your word. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon our pastor and his family, that thou would continue to watch over and bless them, strengthen and nourish them. Father, we pray that thou would bless him to lead us in the manner that you would have us to go, and touch our hearts so that we may be willing followers. Father, we pray that you would just watch over, bless, and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask our ushers to prepare for offering. You could stand, those that have the right to. We'll pray over the offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we're about to receive. Pray that thou would touch the hearts of each and every one of us that have in our hearts, souls, and minds to give. Father, we pray for the blessings upon this church, that our offerings may be going for the uplifting of your kingdom. Touch our hearts, Father, that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask both sides to stand and face us in our... give through Giveify. We appreciate that too. this time, we turn our service over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams. Say amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Come, let's put those hands together. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. For God is worthy. He's worthy to be praised on today. Amen. 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 We thank God for Reverend Sylvester Johnson. We thank God for each and every one of you for coming on out. We want to say, it's been said several times, we want to keep that thing going. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Amen. We appreciate all of our fathers on today, and happy Father's Day. Today is your day. It's the only day we get. Amen. 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 Somebody will catch that. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of our fathers. We want to thank everyone for our vacation Bible school. We know it's about kingdom building. It's about God, but it's good to acknowledge persons. So we want to thank the Sunday school as well as Sister Cynthia Johnson for putting together our vacation Bible school on last week, Monday through Friday. Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. How that started was we had our vacation Bible school, and pastors from other churches was talking to me and wanted to see if we could come together for vacation Bible school. I said, well, we have one scheduled. You all can join us this year and we'll see how it goes. And that was a pilot. The next step, I've talked to Sister Hastings. She's going to, as soon as she can, see who's going to be leading that next year. And we'll start with there to see what God leads, because we just don't do stuff. We pray first. Amen. Amen. We pray first and hear what the pastors are saying, what the other churches are saying, and we'll come together and see how that goes. Amen. 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 We thank God for each and every one of you. Reminder, no Bible study this coming Wednesday. I'll be in St. Louis at our National Congress, Christian Education Congress, this week. And then it was announced our family Christian growth coming up on that second Saturday. Amen. 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 Jesus is the answer for the world today. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I'll be reading through verse 14. Going to work on this a little bit. Amen. Work on this a little bit for a while, not just today. Amen. Work on this fifth chapter of Ephesians. Oh, Jesus, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there no other. Oh, Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus, the answer. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, for the world today. Song says above, above, no other. Oh,
If you're able, can you stand? Those who are able. Oh, Jesus, Jesus is the end. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For the world today, oh, but love him, there's no other. Oh, Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus is the end. Ephesians chapter 5. For the world today, oh, but there's no other. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. Reads as follows. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. And verse 14, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Before you're seated, I would like to work on today. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Of the light. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We thank you and for your energy, for your time. Walk as children of the light. I want to just do some basic Christian teaching on today and share with you because I've discovered as Bible teaches that the family was established. Adam and Eve was before Jesus Christ established to us the church. The family was established first. So we need to make sure before we come to church that our family life, our house is aligned with God before we try to come and do things in the church. And I'm not just talking about leadership. I'm just talking about being a Christian. That's what this passage says, is because sometimes it can be thought that only leaders have to live the Christian way. If you have a title, it's just for the pastor. If you own that organ or piano, it's just for that person who is there. Somebody that has a title in the church, they are the only ones sometimes people think that must follow the Christian way. But it's really the reverse, is that you should be a Christian following the Christian way before you do anything. Before the church, you ought to have your relationship started and right with God before you do anything. Because you are a Christian and disciple first, based upon your confession with Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to have a right relationship. So sometimes we say pew member, but even a pew member, somebody just come in and sit in the pew, they are a disciple, a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They live by the same standard as discipleship as everybody else. Oh, I say amen all by myself on that. I'm in the house. I know I'm in the house. We have to do that. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody that I can see and have seen, because I take off my glasses, I can't see anything. But anybody up in here is responsible for the same Christian standard as anybody else. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14 gives a clear picture of the Christian life. Watch this now. You got to look at it. In Ephesians 5, it talks to all of us of how we're supposed to live this Christian life. And the first thing it looks at when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's one thing that immediately changes, and that's your identity. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're no longer sinner. You're sinner saved by grace. Come on, talk to me by somebody. Somebody talk to me today. Is that when you receive Jesus Christ, you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he was crucified. I believe that he died. I believe by the resurrection, the power of God, that he got up. And that through Jesus Christ, I can have right relationship. The first thing that changes is your identity. That means that you are no longer a sinner. Who you are has changed. Yeah, no longer are you this. Somebody in the world may call you this and call you that because that's all they know. But something on the inside called the Holy Spirit, because of your confession, has come and changed who you are. Now you are officially not just the creation of God, but you are a child of God. Yeah, I got to get this right. It doesn't matter just because I got a pastor on my title that I have a different standard of discipleship or Christianity. Everybody has the same standard. Change of identity as soon as you receive Jesus Christ. The next thing is a change. You catch the theme here that the word is change. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now if you just come to church, that don't mean something's going to change. But when you actually become a Christian and receive Jesus Christ, things change. The first thing is your identity. You are actually a child of God when you have confessed and received Jesus Christ. Amen, preacher, amen. The next thing, there's a change in your conduct. Yeah. Don't look at me funny, but your conduct changes. So not only does your identity change, but your conduct changes. I didn't say your humanity changes, but your conduct changes. Before you receive the Lord and before you mature the Lord, somebody say something wrong to you, you're going to say something wrong to them. So somebody, before you done changed your identity and before you have changed who you are and your conduct changed, because before, well, I'm not going to talk about you, I'll talk about me, is that before I had Christ in my life, you go low, I go lower. And I would be happy with it. I'd be fine with it. But the Bible said, love God and love others. So then my conduct changes from self-centered to love. Even though you may be misused, maybe you're abused, maybe some things go on, people say stuff, but your conduct changes because the Holy Spirit is now directing your conduct. Help me, somebody. So your identity changes, and then also your conduct changes. Not just your social behavior, but also your mental thought process. How you think, how you act, and even the people in your house. Now Paul said, don't leave the folk up in your house. You got to stay there. You got to minister. But they ought to still see the change in you. There ought to be a difference between you and the world. What I'm saying, a change in your conduct means how you act should be different than somebody who's unsaved and you saved. Your conduct is different. It's a conduct of a child of God. Then all of us are storytellers. The next change is your story, meaning your witness changes. You're not gossiping anymore. You are telling and calling folk about what God has done for you. Is there anybody over here been delivered from something? Anybody over here been delivered from something? So your identity changes, your conduct changes, and then your storytelling, your witnessing changes. You start telling folks, you know what? We had a storm this week, and we thought it was going to blow every building up, but God's grace and mercy kept us. Look at what God did. You know what? I woke up this morning. There was no reason. I didn't deserve it. Nothing I said, nothing I did, but God saw fit that I was able to breathe in and breathe out and stand before you. Stop telling the story about the goodness of God. You know, sister girl, you know what he did? He, his only begotten son, come die for us. I'm so happy about that. You know, he was hung there on the cross and he died for us. And the power of God rose him up early Sunday morning. You know what? That depression and that stress that you're dealing with, that same power that got Jesus up can get you up to. Your witnessing, your storytelling, it changes. Paul reminds believers that salvation is not only something we believe, but it's something we live. The gospel, it changes us. It's something that changes how we live, how we conduct ourselves. We're not perfect, but we're at least trying to do right. You know, we stumble. Every good basketball player, even the point guard, has a turnover or two, but they still can win the game. Come on, help me, somebody. Every good running back will fumble the ball every now and then, but they still can have a recovery and win the game. Every now and then, a quarterback can overthrow the receiver, but still, they got another play and can go. As long as they keep at it and stay in their position as a child of God, you're going to make some stumbles. You're going to make some fumbles. You're going to make some trips, but you got to keep on going. There's another play. But if you just get out the game, then that means there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you really changed? Because believers who are saved is not by what you just believe, but it also changes your lifestyle. Before Christ, we were in darkness. This is what Ephesians 5 says. I'm getting more amens than I thought. There's some believers up in here. I thought it was going to be quiet up in here, but there's some believers know that there's change in the walk. There's change in the talk. Yeah. We are now light in the Lord. That's what it says. Ephesians 5:8, you have that? 5:8, and I'm King James Version. It says, we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. That's what it says. We were dark, but now we light in the Lord. Ain't that a change? Change from darkness to light? Some people comfortable in the dark. Love the dark. For various reasons, I don't know, maybe it's quiet, maybe it's peaceful to you, whatever the case may be. But you can see everything when the light come on. Help me, somebody. Some people are just more comfortable in the dark for various reasons. You can choose that if you're just comfortable in the dark, sneaking and snipping and tipping. If you're comfortable in the dark, you may ask yourself the question, why am I comfortable in the dark and hiding stuff and sneaking stuff? Amen. In Christ, we are now light in the Lord. Paul wrote Ephesians 5:8 to remind believers of their new identity. Did you catch that? The new identity, who you are in Christ. You were against Christ because you didn't believe him. He wasn't your big brother. But now that you say, I believe in you as my atonement, now your identity changes because you're in Christ. But there's a call on your life now. There's a call on your life, not a title on your life, but there's a call on your life to live consistently with that identity. I am a child of God, so you better act like a child of God. Paul contrasts their former condition. He said, you were once in darkness, meaning you were dark. Help me, somebody. That means that when I come to the Lord, when I become a believer, that there was a past and there's a present future. My present, since I'm in the Lord, shouldn't look like my past. All of us have a past, so you can talk about somebody, but let's start bringing up your past. Oh, help me, somebody. There's some folks sitting up in here that was past with you. Come on now. They was doing it with you. Amen. You know all of us have a past. So don't look at somebody for what they're doing because of their past. But what God is looking at, what your present is, are you living what you are proclaiming? Do you realize that you're a child of God and that must be seen in this dark world? You must be the light and its consistent. Yeah, the light bulb has a switch, but the Christian don't. Won't you own? You own. Once you with the Lord, you with the Lord. It's the present reality. Now that I am with the Lord, it says, now you are light in the world. So you were dark, but now you with the Lord, you're light in the Lord. You notice I didn't say, now you pastor, now you deacon, now you trustee, now you usher, now you president over this. No, in the Lord first. Amen, amen. I say amen. Amen, amen. My conversion happens first. I am walking for the Lord first. Then I do the works of the kingdom that spread the gospel through whatever I do. But that's a different sermon. 3 Sundays from now. But the church is to walk in holiness now. The church is not to walk in works of darkness now, but walks of holiness now. That's the past. Darkness is the past, but the light of Jesus is now. Enjoy the light. I can't speak for you, but I love walking in a room with light. I don't trip as much. I don't bump into as many people. It's easier for me to stay in my lane. I can see what's going on. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a rainstorm? I was in a rainstorm and I said, well, we're going to go during the day because I can see more. Even though it's storming, I'm trying to preach today. And even though it's raining, it's easier to travel when the light is on. So in your life, you may have to go through some highways and byways. But if it's dark and you're going through the storm and you don't have anything to provide you light, then it's harder to see some stuff. But if you're in the storms of life and Jesus is the light and he's lighting up your pathway, he's lighting your travel, you can see some stuff. Trying to preach this thing today is that here the point is, it, the point I'm trying to say, the thing I'm trying to make plain to each of us, what I'm trying to say, make a plain preacher, all right, it's not just information about Jesus. It's about a lifestyle for me. I have a lifestyle. I have direction. I have the word of God, lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I have direction now. I'm not just going in the wind, being blown wherever. I am living for the Lord. Yes. Now that I've accepted Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5 and 8 fits Paul's broader purpose in the letter. This letter showed the church of its richness in Christ, how it's rich in Christ, how it's blessed through Christ. We are blessed through Christ, and it urges the church toward a worthy conduct because we are in Christ and we have Christ in our life. If anyone tells you you can act however you want to act, say whatever you want to say, and do whatever you want to do, now that you're a Christian, that does not align with Scripture. Ephesians 4 through 6 even, it teaches that salvation produces a change in our walk. If we are saved, at least somebody trying. You may not be doing right, but you're trying. Everybody's not going to win the race, but that means you're in the race and you're moving forward. God's grace is with you. God's grace is with you. God's grace is with you. You're staying on the track and you're moving forward. Sometimes it ain't a sprint. Sometimes it's a crawl. Sometimes it's not a crawl. Sometimes it's a skip. But whatever it is, you are moving forward. It teaches that if you are saved, there's a change in your walk. Plain terms, Paul is saying the gospel changes not just who you are, but what you are. Changes what you do. The elders said, and now I get it. I've said it before, but now I get it. Thank you, Paul. I looked at my hands, and they look new. I looked at my feet, they did too. Why? That means, yeah, same rusty knuckles. No, talking about there's a spiritual change. The things I used to do with my hands, I just can't do no more. The places my feet used to take me, because now I have Jesus as my light and my guide. My feet just can't go. My mind go, but my feet can't, because it's done changed. My direction has changed. The Bible is very clear that this is the fruit of regeneration, meaning being born again, being made clean. Those made alive by grace now walk as children of light. There's a difference. There's a change. I'm going to say it again. Those who teach or even share that you can just do what you want to do or live however you want to live now that you're a Christian, well, get there. No, you need to go ahead and get there now, because you have been commanded to be a child of the light. You are a child of God, and there's a certain lifestyle and commitment that goes along with this Christian lifestyle. If I'm the only one that has to stand on it, I'll stand on it, because God has been too good to me. The question, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There has to be a change, not just hearing and hearing and hearing the gospel or the scripture text for information, but there's a transformation. There's a change that goes in your life. The question is not merely, are you saved? But also there's another question, not just, are you saved? But I got another question, are you walking like you saved? Let me check my note again. Somebody need it. The question is not are you saved, but also are you walking like you saved? For you were sometimes in darkness, Ephesians 5 and 8. You were sometimes in darkness, but now, that's what today's text. But now, today, standing on the gospel, I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, you can't just live any old kind of way. Now, if you are a Christian, you need to walk in the light of the Lord. Walk as a child of the light. And don't let a person who's been in church, I didn't say a Christian, a person that's been in church for years, decades, born in a church, tell you anything different or lead you any astray. Now that you have Jesus, you have to walk like you have Jesus. 1st thing, that was just my introduction. My first point with this is that we need to really look at our identity in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Can I say it this way? Christ makes the difference. Christ makes the difference. I'm not going to stop getting mad. I get mad as a firecracker with my wife. I get mad as a firecracker with my two sons and my daughter get away with anything. I like her. But I have human emotions is what I'm saying. I have emotions just like anybody else. But the way I handle and process my life, because Christ is in my life, I handle it different. I handle it as a child of God. I have feelings, I have thoughts, you have feelings and thoughts. But now that you are in Christ, you allow and you yield to the way Christ would go about things. And that is asking the question, what is the most loving thing to do? Even if you write, sometimes the most loving thing to do is to be quiet. There's another word I would say. My mama ain't here, I could probably get away with it. I ain't gonna do it. She probably watching. Amen. But sometimes the loving thing means to leave folk alone. The loving thing is to let them bump their head on their own self. Because you've been telling them for years, but they ain't gonna get it. So let them get a couple knots on their head. Sometimes that's the most loving thing. I say amen then. I say amen. Maybe they still doing some stuff because you always saving them from their stuff. Ooh, help me somebody. Yeah. Our new identity in Christ, what we once were, it says you were sometimes in darkness. Darkness describes more than just not knowing or ignorance. It speaks of a life separated from God and controlled by sin. If you are living in a life of darkness, that means sin is your ruler. What is sin? Missing the mark. What is sin? Being ruled by your thought process and your flesh. If you've been with the Lord long enough and you really talk to the Lord, there's a whole lot of stuff that you ask the Lord for. And I can witness and stand right here and say, Lord, thank you for denying most of my requests. Because I see when you made your executive decision, that was the best way. Because the stuff I asked for, ooh, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making an executive decision because that was best for me. Paul does not say we are merely in darkness. He says we were darkness. We were in sin. That is a hard truth. It's hard to deal with. But we are blemished. We crooked. We ain't straight. There ain't nothing right with us. But it provides healing when we acknowledge that. Scripture teaches that apart from Christ, we are not just confused and wounded. We are spiritually dead. Under sin's rule, we are unable to please God. Now watch this. I need to stay here for a minute. I got a little star there. Is that we are unable to please God. So even if we're living in sin and we do the right thing, this is why I'm preaching this and I'm staying in even Ephesians 5. The right thing may be to help somebody. The right thing may be to go to church. The right thing may to be in a ministry of the church. But if you're still living a life of sin, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still not pleasing God. People at church may say, thank you for helping us. Thank you for leading this. Thank you for doing it. We're glad you're with us. But if you're still being directed by a life of sin, you're not pleasing God, you're pleasing people. And no person has a heaven or hell to put you in. So you can do the right thing, but if you're still led by a life of sin, your own self-centered ways, what you think is best, you're not pleasing God. Is your goal to please God? If your goal is to please God, then you live for Him. We are spiritually dead if we live under the direction of sin. So what does it say? Remember where Christ is and where He found you. Some of us He found in the club. Some of us He found in the street. Some of us He found in a bad relationship. Some of us He found in church. But it doesn't matter where He found you. It's the fact that He did find you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It's who you're with now. Many of us have wounds and we're confused about life. But remember that Christ found you. Wherever you were, He reached out His hand and He picked you up. Help me, elders. He turned you around and He placed your what, feet on solid ground. And as you look about how Jesus saved, you look about how Jesus saved you, it brings some humility to your life. It brings some gratitude to your life. It brings the fact that you were separated from your own destruction. The clear way to say this is that you see your way through the darkness. When you were not saved, you couldn't see your way through the darkness. But now that grace, what you don't deserve, has brightened up your way. Now you have a different look and a different perspective. So what we are now is what goes to the next day in that text. It says what we are now. Now are ye light in the Lord. What we are now. The verse does not leave us in darkness. The verse transition is to now you are in the light of the Lord. Your identity is not based upon the past and yesterday, but your identity in the Lord is based upon now. This is the union with Christ language. If you got Jesus on your side and you are a follower of Jesus, this is how Jesus folk talk. I got Jesus and I don't need anything else. Jesus leads me and guides me. Let me send up some timber. That's prayers, y'all. Let me go down on my bended knee. That's prayer. Let me submit myself to the Creator of all. What Christ and who He is by His nature of forgiveness and love. That's what matters, and that's what matters now. Thank you for reminding me of my blemishes. That just continues to remind me and you of God's grace. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of what I used to do. Key word, I used to do. Thank you for reminding me of who I used to be with. Can I give you a key word? I used to be with. God has picked us up. God has saved us. God has given us a new life. Let us walk in that life. He shares with His people by His grace. John 3:7 says, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked the question, how can I be born again? Do I enter again into my mother's womb? Jesus said, you got to catch this. It's spiritual. You have to be transformed by the Spirit of God. There must be a change in your life. So I'm not just saying this from Ephesians, but even Jesus Christ taught that there's a spiritual change in us. And once that changes, our life changes. Who we are, our identity changes because you've been born again. You're not just your mama's baby, but you're God's baby now. You've been born again. The old life is not patched up. It is replaced by a new life in Christ. This helps us in our dark moments. It tells us what we once were. We were in darkness. We were guilty. I'm going to say this word again. Guilty. You did it. You know you did it. And if it wasn't for the Lord, you'd do it again. Help me, somebody. Admit before the Lord, you guilty, you did it, and say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I'll do it again. Thank you for saving me from myself. That's what a new birth says, is that I know I'm messed up. I know that I'm deceptive. I know that I'm spiritually blind. There's stuff that I don't do that I'm supposed to do. But you saved me and you transformed me. Then you remind me what I am today. I'm light in the Lord. That means that I am forgiven today. I'm changed today. I'm called to holiness today. Oh, let me stop, rewind, and play. I'm forgiven today. I'm changed today. I'm called to holiness today. I got one amen. I'm changed. Let's stop, rewind, and play. Today I'm forgiven. Today I'm changed. Today I'm called to holiness. And what we must do is simple. Walk as it says. Walk in verse 8. Walk as children of the Lord. Let the new nature show up in our conduct. Don't tell your business, but those been out in the street, those been in the club, those been in the family reunion or two or three. It shouldn't sound when you in church like you in the street. Shouldn't sound like when you in church that you still at the club. I say it by myself. Your relationships shouldn't look like relationships when you was in the world. There should be a difference because Christ has changed you and transformed you. There should be a difference because of Christ. This is a daily call to the believer. Live like what grace has made you, not to become light, but because you are light in the Lord. Your darkness has some light on it now. Light is not something that we generate ourselves. There is a powerhouse called heaven, the kingdom of God that creates and sustains us through his light. So what it means is that a believer should not live like a person they used to be. A believer lives like a person they are in Christ right now. All right, I got two more points. I got a little time. It's storming out there. Y'all don't feel like going out there anyway. My next thing is our daily conduct must match our identity. How we act must match who we are. If you in Christ, your conduct must match it. You're going to have some tension with some folk. There's going to be some smoke that's going to happen. But how you handle it is different. God is angry with us, but he gives us grace. God is upset with our sin, but he gave us Jesus. He gave us grace and mercy. It's how you handle life situations. Our daily conduct must match our identity. And the first thing you should say, you know what, Paul, Jarrell, Susan, whoever it is, you know what? I messed up on that one. Matter of fact, I'm going to say I called that one wrong. I messed up. Please forgive me. I won't try not to do it again. Forgive me. That's mean you caught it. You get it. Your conduct is different because who you are in Christ. The command is clear. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Not walk as children of something, but walk as children of the light. That is the command. Ephesians 5 and 8, second part. Walking speaks of everyday life, not just in Sunday morning worship. The Christian life is a visible life. Let your light so shine. So the whole world, paraphrasing, can see. Children resemble their father. The command rests on the identity first, who you are. Because Christ has saved you, you must live in a way that matches the new nature of your daddy. It's Father's Day. Who is your father? God is your father. Then your conduct must match who your father is. That means a Christian life is marked by truth and holiness and a visible obedience unto God. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. This fits the call to regenerate the church. People who have been made new by grace should show that new life in their conduct, their speech, their choices, their witness, how they live. This is a lifestyle, y'all. Believers should reflect the character of the one who saved them. You must live like Jesus. There's no blemish in Jesus. There's no crookedness in Jesus. He even said, I am the truth and the life. He is the way. You have to live it. Watch this. The command is ongoing. It doesn't stop. This is not a one-time act, but a continual way of living. Every decision, every word, every habit should be shaped by the light of Christ that's in your life. This means that, how can I apply this to my life? I must reject hidden sin, and I must reject secret compromise. Hidden sin, stuff that folk don't see, stuff in the closet, under the bed, in the backyard, stuff you done buried. I must reject that. The secret compromise, stuff that you just done with the devil, let's make a deal that other folk don't want to say nothing about. Secret compromise. Yeah. Just because we don't see it, God sees it. Just because we can't prove it, God is watching. He knows. And let Scripture, not the world, define your path and the way you live. Scripture says how to live. Let Scripture tell you what to do. Live openly and consistently as someone who belongs to Christ. That means you're going to shine in your home the same way you shine in church. You're going to shine in your home the same way you act up in the workplace. The same way you act up in the community. The Lord who saved you also calls you to reflect his holiness wherever you are and wherever you go. So my identity is number one. And then number two is my daily conduct. How I act must match my identity. And I want to point it out. We must reject those hidden sins, those secret compromises that we make, because sin displeases God. The last thing is, why y'all say amen to that? Somebody say amen. The last thing is the fruit, the result of light, is the evidence of believer. What you see come out. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. You know what it say, an orange tree. You done planted an orange tree, got the sign on it, got your mouth ready for some oranges. So you're planting all them nice, juicy, fat oranges, you ready? And you plant it, and then you see that it becomes a tree of apples. You're disappointed. You're upset because you planted an orange tree and then it produced something else. Yeah. God is all ready for us to be his children and do things for the kingdom of God, and then some kind of way we allow this world to direct us some other way. Light of Jesus produces fruit. True salvation bears visible results. A changed heart eventually shows itself in change behavior. The way you act, the way you live is different. The fruit is threefold. If you look at it in verse, that you look at verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all three things: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Y'all see that? Goodness. A generous, gracious, and beneficial life. If you are living in goodness, you are living a generous, gracious, and beneficial life. Then the next thing is righteousness, right conduct before God and man. Not only God sees it, but man sees it. Light of the day. Do you know that the testimony you live actually helps somebody? It can encourage somebody to keep on keeping on in the Lord. And then the last thing is goodness, righteousness. The last thing is truth, meaning sincerity, integrity, and your life lives in agreement with God's word. So here all to say this is Paul is telling believers that the light does not merely expose darkness. It produces a new way of life. If you belong to Christ, the evidence is not noise or an image, but it's fruit. You should see the goodness in character. You should see the goodness in the way we laugh. If you got to sneak and hide and run and keep stuff secret, then are you really living a life for Jesus? Well, righteousness is in our conduct and how we act, and the truth in our speech and our inward life. Yeah, some folk won't see. But God sees and God knows. So a simple reflection is that good in your life. Is your life helping others toward God? Is your life picking up somebody along the way, or is it only toward what you like or what you want to do? Reflect on it, my brother. Reflect on it, my sister. Right. We talked about good. Now let's talk about right. Are you walking in obedience where Scripture has already made it clear how you're supposed to walk? You ain't got to do no strong concordance. You ain't got to look up nothing. It simply says, live this way, trust in the Lord. Love God, love others. There's no in between there. Walk in truth. Come out of darkness into the what? Marvelous light. Am I hiding behind religious words? How are you today? I'm blessed and highly favored. Are you hiding about that? Are you actually living a favored life and a blessed life? Ephesians 5:8, it searches. I'm not trying to search you or shout you today. I'm trying to help you. The verse searches the heart. The fruit does not save us, but it does reveal whether we are walking in the light. I say this, you can tell if I'm living it based upon how the church is going. I know my name is out there as pastor, but there's some other pastors in here. But as long as I'm standing here, you're still under my direction. And if I'm not living right, the church will go a different way. But as long as I stand here and I make sure that I'm the head of my house and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do under the Lord, everybody going to be blessed. Doesn't matter how you act, the Lord will deal with it. But that's the way it is. Look at the Old Testament. How the king went, that's how the nation went. Doesn't matter how folk act or whatever. If the king, if the leader act right, then it's going to be blessed. Same thing in your ministries. You can tell your ministry on how you live in your life at home. We going to have to step one foot in your house, apartment, condo, whatever you live in. We can tell how you living on how your ministry is going. And what fruit is being produced out of your ministry. Oh, help me. Somebody, have you ever heard somebody sing or teach or something that says something ain't right? Well, you look around, it just ain't right up in here. They saying the right thing, but something ain't right. Because the home has to be right. The heart has to be right. The lifestyle, I mean, they look good. You just don't know what it is because you can't see it. But it's the home life. You'll be able to see if I ain't doing right, because we wouldn't be growing. We wouldn't be moving. We wouldn't be doing. We commanded to do a lifestyle that lines up with God's way. And the fruit is consistent. Not occasional flashiness or flashes of goodness and godliness, but a steady pattern of living the Christian way. I'm through now. But I'm like my Uncle Doc, he used to say all the time, I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. Did anybody feel like my Uncle Doc? Yeah, I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. I've been in the darkness. Anybody been in the darkness? I've been in the darkness. But Jesus is the marvelous light. And you've been called in a marvelous light. So those who are walking in the light, I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm not saying that everything that you do doesn't have some rough edges. But you're still walking. You're still walking after Jesus. Trying to make heaven your home. How are you trying to make heaven your home? As long as you know Jesus and you accepted him as your Savior, then heaven is your home. Ephesians 5:8 teaches that believers have been given a new identity, a new walk, and a new witness. We were in darkness, but now that we've accepted Jesus, we have light in the Lord. So because of this, we must walk in a way that reflects our Savior, who Jesus is, and produces godly fruit and shines truth into a dark world. The call for each and every one of us is clear. Do not live as if you still belong to darkness. Live as a child of God. Can I tell you the goodness though? If you're still living in darkness today, while you have breath in your lungs, you still have a chance. The gospel invitation still stands. Awake and arise, and Christ shall give you his light. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's still time. If you're still breathing, even if you said, I made you my choice, you still can transform into the image of Christ who you've accepted as your Savior. If you wasn't living right coming in, you're going to live right going out. It's time to make a choice. I've made Jesus my choice. Is there anyone else who's made Jesus their choice? He was divine, but Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that he became flesh for you and for me. He was changed for the atonement of our sins, sacrificed for you and for me. That's what he did. It was love, church. That's love. Sacrificial love. And he died on Calvary's cross. And they put him in the tomb. He was dead. And early on Sunday morning, he rose again with all power for you and for me. So do you accept Jesus Christ? Do you accept that power in your life? If you do and you have not done that already, the Bible says you have made that first step. You are saved. And I invite you, those who please stand, I invite you to come down. If you receive Jesus Christ, he performed miracles for you. He's coming back again. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ and you like to receive him as your Lord and Savior now, you may come, my brother. You may come, my sister. You may raise your hand. You may come. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come at this time. There's one without a church home, but you would like this to be your church home. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, on today? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Give your life to Jesus. Is there one? Come connect with this body of believers. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one? Give your life to Jesus, candidate for baptism. You already have Christian experience, but you come by letter. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come. Amen. We still have room. We see there are none at this time, but still the Spirit of God works. We need to walk as children of the light. Amen. Amen. If we are saved, our life and our lifestyle should reflect that we are saved. If anyone tells you differently, that does not align with the scripture teachings that God has placed before us. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We present ourselves to you. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your regeneration. Thank you for your justification through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to keep us and sustain us as we walk for you and through you and have relationship. Right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us say together, amen. Amen. Amen.